Welcome to Dr. Jane's 10-Minute Podcasts to help you gain and retain good positive mental health.
Hello, it's Dr. Jane here again, and today I wanted to talk about OCD. Now, OCD, obsessional compulsive disorder, is one of the anxiety disorders. If we think about the very common types of mental health, I like to think about them as two categories. They're not distinct from each other, and there's a lot of crossover between. Think about a Venn diagram and that bit that kind of crosses in the middle. You have the depressive type of mental health and you have the anxiety type of mental health, and you know there's lots under each umbrella, and OCD is one of those ones that come under the anxiety umbrella. There's other things like separation anxiety, agoraphobia, claustrophobia, social anxiety, performance anxiety, PTSD. These are all things that kind of come under the anxiety umbrella, but today I particularly wanted to talk about OCD. Now OCD is where you get an obsessive thought. The person that I wanted to talk about, who'd contacted the Dr. Jane 10-Minute Podcasts, was Emma. She's washing her hands up to 100 times a day. They are practically red raw, and it's so painful every time. She carries on washing her hands, but she still washes her hands because she has an obsessive thought that she is going to be contaminating herself, others, anybody around her, and everything has to be completely clean. She'd had a baby recently. And I think this is one of the things that had prompted her to contact me, because she said that when she came back, taking him out in his pushchair, she will spend hours rolling the pram as soon as she gets in onto a sheet or newspaper, and she will spend hours cleaning the wheels because she's got the thought that something bad and contaminable has kind of gone onto the baby's wheels. And yeah, sure, you know, she rolls around the streets of where she lives, there's going to be stuff, but it's not going to be stuff that is going to harm either her or her family or her baby. But she has the obsessive thought, so she gets down on her hands and knees literally with a toothbrush and she scrubs these wheels because she thinks that she's bringing something back. And that's because, that's her behaviour that she's got into, because she has the obsessive thought that something bad is going to be brought in with the baby's wheels. She has the anxiety that is associated with that, the heart racing, the dry mouth, the anxiety just kind of getting higher and higher. And her ritual to reduce that particular anxiety is to keep washing her hands. That she does that. She also brushes her teeth, but particularly when it comes to her baby pram, is to wash the wheels. And of course, this does have implications, because she needs to go out two or three times a day, and she's spending hours washing the wheels, or she's stopping. This is another thing that she'd said, that she's actually stopping going out because she's just so terrified of some kind of contaminant. So there are different types of OCD. There's the washers, the fear of contamination, people that check things, they're constantly at the door handle making sure it's locked over and over again, and this gets very ritualistic. They will do it a number of times, often but not always. It's an odd number of times. Quite why that is, we're not too sure, but somebody will have to turn on a light switch 20 or turn off a light switch 21 times before they are satisfied. And it's about, and that's the ritual, and it brings a temporary, and I want to stress the word temporary, relief to what's going on. So, in their mind that something bad is going to happen. So some of the symptoms of OCD would be things like racing thoughts that, something bad is going to happen to you. I knew one guy that literally used to tie himself to his bed at night because his thought was that he is going to go out and hurt somebody. Anybody, he never quite got to that, but he was just so obsessed with the thought. So it gave him a certain amount of calm to tie himself to his bed every night, because his thoughts had got so completely out of control. And and then the ritual is that I must act on these thoughts, that I'm responsible, I should try and stop these thoughts. But often that, if you just try and say, right, just stop these thoughts, and that just kind of ends up making things worse for people. And then you have your ritual or your compulsion, as in the obsessive compulsion, that then brings a certain amount of relief, but it doesn't actually take away the core reason. We're going to come on to that a little bit as well. And you just get a tiny little bit of reassurance from that. But then what happens is you just go round. It's a massive, great big cycle. And avoidance is very, very characteristic of OCD. So what can MR, my chap that I knew that tied himself to the bed, what can people do about their OCD? Now, I want you to think about OCD and the thoughts that go with OCD as a bully. In my last podcast, I was talking about anxiety, GAD, generalized anxiety disorder. And I was saying that anxious thoughts, often what will happen is we'll deal with them with one area of somebody's life. You know, that they're anxious about their work or something, and then you sort that out, and then they suddenly get anxious about their relationships. And OCD, part of the anxiety, and anxiety is like, I'd likened it to the neighbours from hell, you know, like one thought will come into your head, and then another one, and another one, and, you know, next thing you know, they're having a party there, and you're the one that's hosting the party unwillingly. So you have to be able to challenge these thoughts. Now, but OCD, I want you to think about it as, you know, being like a dominant bully, really. It gets in there, it gets one of the thoughts, you know, the thoughts start that something bad is going to happen, you're going to, you know, catastrophe happens within seconds. In Emma's case, if I don't wash these and, you know, bleach the baby's pram wheels, then something terrible is going to happen. You know, we've all seen TV programmes, they kind of make bizarrely, you know, what they think, you know, commissioners think is good viewing, actually seeing people's stress and anxiety about how, you know, how clean and overly bleached their home is, and the damage people do to themselves. You know, like Emma bleaches the baby wheels, and she's breathing in these toxic and noxious fumes all the time. But strangely enough, that doesn't actually even feature in her obsession. It's about getting them clean, and therefore she can kind of just have that temporary relief. But next thing you know, she's thinking about the next time she has to go out, and, you know, what she can do. So it's a real vicious circle. So I want you to think about OCD as being a bully. It's a bullying thought. It gets into your head and it tells you to start doing something. And because you've performed these rituals in the past, then it's got a comfortable place to be. So what can you do? What can Emma do? What can anybody with OCD, whether it's, you know, washing your hands dozens of times a day or brushing your teeth, what can you do about your OCD? You have to challenge your thinking. Now, I know that is so much easier said than done, but when I work with people with OCD, I always want to get them to look at the evidence, the thing that they fear, whatever it is. What is the evidence of this happening? What is the evidence of this ever happening? Now, I can't guarantee, nobody can guarantee that the bad thing that somebody is thinking about is not going to happen. The probability of it happening is, you know, tiny, is infinitesimal, is absolutely tiny. But people will just click on to that absolute, you know, 0.0000, you know, almost to infinity, that it's not going to happen. But they will actually just click on to that point, whatever it is, number, and they will think it's going to happen. And then what do they have to perform? What ritual do they have to perform? What behavior do they have to perform to stop it? So you need to challenge your thinking. The first thing you have to do is to seek the evidence. Is there any evidence whatsoever that the thing that you think is going to happen is ever going to happen? As ever, with all anxieties, the best thing that anybody can do is to stop and to breathe. Now, stop is a really good analogy for, if you think about the words S-T-O-P, I want you to add a little P on the end of that as well, is stop and just for a couple of seconds, take a step back, literally take a physical step back if that helps you. A lot of people find that, no, but, you know, rock, literally just rock the weight back on your other foot, and then you're thinking to yourself, I am taking a step back from this situation. Nobody knows that you're doing it. It really, you know, it's not as seeable, because often the people with anxiety think that everybody's looking at them, and of course they're not. Take a breath. My number one tip for all anxieties and just about most mental health disorders is to just take a breath. Because remember, you are reoxygenating your blood. When you get anxious, you know, your carbon dioxide levels increase, and then your anxiety just keeps whirring around. Anxiety, remember, think of it as a bit like a you know, if like a peak, you know, on a graph. It can only go so high. People think, literally, people do think that when they get anxious that they're going to explode or do something. We have a practically a fail-safe mechanism in our bodies, and you know, we have the fight or flight response, which people often associate with anxiety, but there is another one called faint. And if all else fails, our body might just kind of, the blood pressure will drop so far so quickly that you might feel faint. But that's our way of kind of stopping. It's you know, it's a rarity, but these things do happen. So take a deep couple of breaths. Remember, put your hand on your tummy. Feel that you are breathing in deeply and then breathing out slowly. Observe what's going on. Just think about what it is that you're getting anxious about. In Emma's case, she's observing the fact that it's, you know, it's raining outside. That's going to make it more mucky on her wheels. That's going to take her longer to do. So therefore, she avoids going outside. Observe it and then just think about the probabilities. The thing that you have to think about with OCD is the probability of the thing you fear actually happening. And as I said before, it's tiny. So get some perspective. That will help you. Also, where you're breathing, that will help you get some perspective. You can think about the bigger picture. Think about you're looking down at the bigger picture, if that helps you. And then, you know, the last P of the stop is practice. When something works for you, then, you know, for goodness sake, practice it. Don't just think, oh, it's worked this once and, oh, that's great, it was just a one-off. You know, actually believe in yourself. Write down your anxieties. Write down your OCDs, because when we're over them, that rush of anxiety, the ritual that makes it go away from it, the last thing you want to do, Emma, for instance, is the last thing she wants to do is think about or write out why she's washing her baby wheels as she comes in. But the more you can write them down, the more you can actually see them in their unrational and illogical way. And it will be embarrassing. People talk about it being really embarrassing actually writing down. But a thought outside of your head is no longer a thought, you know, or verbalize it. People find it, if you can't write something down, then verbalize it. But what I always try and get people to do is get the thought out of their head in some way or another. They say it out loud or they write it down, and you can write it down and you can kind of analyze it. You can come back to it, or you might just want to kind of write it down and screw it up. But it's actually getting it out of your head. Because you can see, you know, there might be themes, there might be times of the day that Emma is getting a little bit more anxious, and it might be related to other things that are going on in her life. You know, who knows? If you can talk about what it is that underlies the anxiety. I worked with somebody once who was a tremendous toothbrusher, and of course, you know, all of her gums were being pushed back because she was brushing her teeth so many times. And, you know, during the course of therapy, it kind of transpired that this person had been so, you know, chronically and shamefully abused by a step-parent, physically abused by a step-parent. And, you know, the sadness is, when we kind of untucked it a little bit, was that the actual, the parent, you know, the natural biological parent knew this was going on, but did nothing to stop it. And she'd kind of developed this ritual of tooth brushing as a way of control. It's the one thing that she could do. And that to her had just, you know, if she brushed her teeth 20, 30, however many times a day, that to her was an element of control in her life. But of course, sadly, it wasn't working, because it was the last thing that it was controlling, because every moment was kind of associated with, okay, this is anxiety producing. Remember when I spoke about the podcast about anxiety? We need anxiety in our lives, because, you know, otherwise we have no fear and it's dangerous for us. But if we think about anxiety on a scale, any anxiety on a scale of 1 to 10, anything up to 5, you know, it's kind of, you know, starting getting to 5, you know, you need to think about what it is you're doing and maybe seek a bit of help, even if it's just self-help off the internet. Anything over a 5, then really, you know, it might be time to be thinking about professional help. 1s, 2s, 3s, you know, that's normal anxiety. But, you know, when people's anxiety is kind of, if you think about it on that scale, you know, something terrible is going to happen. You know, Emma with her wheels, for instance, something terrible is going to happen. Her anxiety is up to 10. What does she need to do? She performs a ritual by bleaching and washing the baby's wheels. And then that takes her anxiety down to 2 or 3 for a very brief period. Because next thing you know, she's then ruminating and thinking about the next time that she has to go out and what she has to do. And, you know, and ironically, you know, the poor lady was actually going out to buy cleaning products for the wheels that she had to clean. You know, it's a vicious circle for her. So OCD, it's a debilitating condition, but it is one that, like most anxieties, is manageable, and it just takes a bit of direction and a, you know, a bit of effort. And if you can write stuff down, that is, you know, two top tips: write stuff down or verbalize it, and breathe. Those are my absolute top tips for helping, because it just helps you observe what's going back. And then if you can keep a diary about these things, ideally it's just getting less and less. Not every time that Emma comes in, it might be that one time she'll come in and, you know, baby needs a change or feeding or something, and she can't attend straight away to the wheels, and it might be that she has to go and do that, and then something else comes up, the phone rings or something, and then it's just delaying that ritual. And eventually she'll get to the point of not, you know, coming back to the ritual and thinking, well, I haven't done this for 10 minutes. I've got in, it's been 10 minutes, it's been 15 minutes, it's been 20 minutes. I've been busy with other things. I haven't done this thing. And that's the point, she says, has the bad thing happened? Oh, and you know, even kind of breaking it and making herself then go out again before she's done that is, you know, kind of, it's breaking the ritual, because you'll be breaking the obsessive thoughts that go with it. This has been one of my 10-minute podcasts. I hope you found it useful, and I will speak to you again very, very soon.
Thank you for listening. And don't forget to subscribe to hear future episodes. Dr. Jane can be found on all the usual social media. Feel free to get in contact for topics and questions for future episodes of Dr. Jane's Positive Mental Health podcasts. Dr. Jane cannot enter into personal correspondence. If you have an emergency or crisis, contact your GP or emergency services.